Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I hope you all had a great long weekend. We are back at it here on Tuesday, and we are kicking off the commentary for this week with an update from Bunker Hill Mining, traded on the CSE under the symbol BNKR, and now trading on the OTCQB under the symbol BHLL. We are chatting with the CFO, David Weens, and the Chief Geologist, Kyle Erdman. This is Kyle's first time on the show, and we are going to spend a bit of time diving into some of the recent drill results and some of the targets that the team has been drilling. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Bunker Hill Mining does hold the Bunker Hill Mine, the historic mine that is, in Idaho. This is the company's cornerstone asset. Guys, let's talk about some of the drill results that came out August 23rd. Now, the drill results focused in this Jersey Deadwood vein system. The headline says the company reported drill results, including high-grade silver-lead vein extensions outside of the current resource. So I think that's the important part, that these are outside of the current resource. Kyle, kick us off, please, with a little background on this general target area, this Jersey Deadwood vein system, please.
For sure. So, yes, as the title said, it's outside the current new mineral resource estimate that was put out with the 23-101 resource. This area, the Jersey Deadwood, is a historically mined section of the mine that fits in with our current exploration plan at Bunker Hill, which is to delineate and prove some of the vein extensions that extend outside of historically mined areas, as well as to prove their down dip and along strike extensions past those. The Jersey Deadwood, we've drilled it off the 9 level, which is the main level of the mine. It is above the water table, and it was a historic lead silver dominant vein system. We call it the Jersey Deadwood because it actually comprises of three main structures in the area: the Jersey fault vein, the Deadwood flat vein, and the Jersey vein proper itself.
Well, Kyle, just maybe back up the clock a little bit and talk to us about how your geology team identified some of these targets outside the known resource, and what some of the groundwork and maybe some of the soil sampling or rock chip sampling or anything you did to arrive at these targets, and why you're excited to keep moving forward with the drill program there.
Yeah, right on. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because this is the first real target area that we've been able to use all of the 3D historically compiled data and drill database that we've been working to put together over the last year to year and a half to really identify a ideal target zone that fits into being easily accessible from currently open historic development underground and above the water table. So we kind of, you know, analyzed a bunch of different areas of the mine and selected this one in the end because it is right on the 9 level. It's directly accessible from the track and the portal. Had utilities accessible to it, and between the three different vein systems, there was ample amount of material to be drilled in the strike extension and down dip extension.
Guys, let's talk about the drill results then. There's a table within the news release, and I will post the link to the news release so everyone can look over these drill results. You saw some nice high grades, upwards of little over 3,000 grams per ton silver equivalent. One thing that does stand out to me, though, is generally narrower widths. You do have one width in here that is almost a meter and a half that yielded 262 grams per ton silver equivalent. But some of these much higher grade results, they're under a meter, most actually under half of a meter. What can you speak to in terms of these slightly more narrow widths and follow-up work that will be done in and around these results? David, you want to take that one, please?
Sure, I'll high level and then turn it over to Kyle. Certainly, we don't think that these lengths, and as noted in the release itself, we don't think that these lengths are representative of what the high grade results will be going forward. And that's really just a technical issue around, you know, how the drilling was performed in terms of the recoveries. There was a little bit less recovery than we would have anticipated, and that was just purely due to, you know, the technical nature. So, you know, as the CFO, I'll butcher it and say, you know, if it wasn't for the recovery issue, you could probably chain together a number of those holes into a much greater width at high grade silver, which we expect going forward. But I'll turn it over to Kyle to correct me on that.
Yeah, Kyle, share some of your thoughts and then some of what you think the follow-up work needs to be then, please.
Yep, no, exactly as Dave pointed out. The technical difficulties with drilling in this type of rock, first of all, is a very competent and fractured quartzite. So a very hard rock that we're trying to intersect a vein that's predominantly galena and quartz itself. So there's a large competency contrast between the target zone and the host lithology, which we noticed in our recoveries in and or around the target zones. Going forward, there's quite a bit of technology and, you know, materials that we're planning on using. That's really going to come down to fine-tuning the lubricants and the muds that we're using to mix in the target zone, some drill techniques, some different run length options, as well as just how we prepare the drill to when we get around the target zones a little more specifically. That being said, this is the lead silver vein style of mineralization at Bunker Hill, which historically was what would normally be considered as a narrow vein structure. The widths that we see historically do center more around the averaging between 2 to 5 foot width. So, you know, we are hoping to see that style moving forward.
Well, Kyle, as you continue to drill and continue to work on the project, another thing that was in the news release that's worth noting is you're also in the middle of your 3D IP ground geophysical survey program. So what do you hope to learn from that, and how will that, I guess, add more data to the pile so that you have more targets coming up down the road?
Yep, the geophysics program is currently underway and is progressing very well. We've had some preliminary data come in just off the straight dipole reads from the IP, and the acquisition quality is very high. The delay responses are very clean. So the company performing all that is happy with the data that we're receiving. And at this point, we're approximately a little over halfway done with the actual line reading itself. The purpose of the program is kind of a second facet to our exploration mentality here. The first being the underground, easily accessible silver rich vein structures from historically mined areas. The geophysics is really to explore the outside blue sky potential of the Bunker Hill property package. It begins roughly on the south edge of the footprint of the historical workings and contains right around 1,500 acres of essentially virgin country that has never been properly explored. This is one of the first really comprehensive modern geophysics programs that's being undertaken in the Silver Valley. So with the data, we're hoping to identify, as it's going down to roughly about 1,300 feet of imaging from the surface, we are looking for shallow, easily accessible mineralization that hopefully we can access from current development, but you know, it's going to bring in a lot more drill targets and areas to focus on future exploration development too.
Well, gentlemen, just how many meters do you still have planned under this current program? And obviously, there'll be a follow-up program after it, but what are you looking for the balance of the year as far as your drill program?
So we're looking mainly to utilize the results from the geophysics to structure the second portion of our drill targeting at this time. The exploration focus remains the same from the underground standpoint, to work up more of these targets off of historically mined structures and do some infill and extension work within the mine footprint itself. But going into the restart and the development strains that are going to be put on the utility systems, we are going to be looking a lot to the results from the geophysics to structure stuff going forward.
Do you have an idea of how many meters, though, that you'll be drilling in the next program?
To be determined at this time, but I would think that it would be similar to what we had structured between phase one and phase two of the previous drill campaign.
All right, guys, let's talk about then news flow, catalysts that everyone should have their eye on. Obviously, continuing on with this exploration program, continuing on to get to the next drill program. David, give us a little recap then. News flow, what should investors be paying attention to?
Yeah, no, I'm very excited to just recap where we're at with that, because we've got our three major catalysts all potentially coming up in the next couple of months. What are those three catalysts? Number one, buying the mine. So it's easy to forget sometimes that we don't actually own the mine. We have an option to purchase the mine. The terms are preset at $3.4 million and $2 million of shares. So it's a nominal amount. It's a technicality, but that ties into our restart financing, which the project finance process that we kicked off in April with Cutfield Freeman is going very well. We've had strong interest in financing the mine, and we're continuing to advance on solutions that minimize dilution and have the lowest cost of capital to restart the mine as well as buy the mine. And the third one, which is also an enabling catalyst to make the other two happen, is a final settlement with the EPA on restructuring the historic liability that we have with them, ideally to be paid primarily out of cash flow once the mine's up and running. So all three of those sort of tie together, and all three have to happen effectively at once, which we've been working very hard at over the summer. So it's been a relatively, we've obviously had some pretty exciting news releases on the exploration front, which is definitely part of our strategy to realize that silver potential. But on those three main catalysts, it's been a little bit quiet, but I can tell you behind the scenes, it's been anything but quiet. We've been working very hard on those and hope to have some good news to come here.
Well, David, just remind everybody of the cash in the bank the company has in the treasury and how that looks as far as funding some of the programs moving forward.
Absolutely. So we reported $2.4 million of cash as of June 30. And really, we're managing that quite carefully to get through, to realize those catalysts that I just mentioned, after which we expect, we certainly hope that that will have a strong, share price impact when we realize those. And I think our financing strategy is really focused on funding, concurrently with those catalysts being realized.
All right. Guys, I think that wraps it up for here. Again, I will post a link to that recent news release outlining those drill results. But if anybody has any follow-up questions for David or Kyle, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those answered for you. Guys, appreciate the time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.